subs like us just wouldn't survive without people like this. These people are diamonds.
God forbid it all. If the man above wanted to take me, I'd sooner him take me when I'd be in the gym. I really mean that. When I'd be down in that gym with a scoop and rope in my hand or that old bag or then doing a bit of sparring with the boys, if I was going to go, that's where I want to go.
That's the price you have to pay. If you want something, you've got to pay for it. And if it's not money, it's got to be in blood. That's what I paid for. I paid for everything in blood. Anything that I have now, I paid for. I paid for it in blood.
It's something combined with your mind and your strength. You can't just go out there and depend on your strength, because it's a mind game. So once you go in there, you have to focus and relax. Once you are not relaxed, you know, you're out of it.
My name is John McCormack. I'm a typical dub, I think. And I look after a boxing club called St. Saviour's Boxing Club down in Dorset Street. Most people would know in the boxing world, especially in Dublin. But we're also well known around Ireland because a lot of the country fellas, when they come up to Dublin for the All-Ireland Championships, most of them would say to us, like, can we come over to the club and do a bit of training? And we'd bring them over there and let our kids train wherever they come from, Donegal. Could be from Ennis in County Clare, could be from Rafa and Donegal, could be from anywhere, could be from Belfast. They come from all parts for the All-Ireland Championships here in Dublin. And naturally enough, some of them have to stay a week and they'd want some place to train. And we'd make it accessible for them because that's what the boxing club is for. And if I was in another part of the country, no matter what part of the country, I'd always make my way down to the boxing club because they're very close in the community of the boxing club. I think there's something similar to the football. They all know each other. And it's a boxing world is a world on its own. Everyone seems to know someone that knows you. Everyone knows, you know, he'll shake hands with you and say, I know a guy that knows you, or he knows a guy that boxed you. You'd know someone that boxed him, he'd know someone that boxed you. It's a very, very close-knit community.
Last 10. Where you go, Dan? That's the last round. That'll do your time. Just loosen off, Daniel. That'll do you for the night. Loosen up.
The most important thing with the children is if you're doing the corner with children, as most coaches will tell you, you can't tell him lies. You can't tell him lies in the corner. If he's losing, you tell him he's losing. If he's winning, you tell him he's winning. If he's not doing as good as he should, you tell him that. If he's not trying as hard as he should, you tell him. You have to be completely honest with him. Because down the line, if you're dishonest with him, he'll find you out. And he loses confidence in you. So consequently, you cannot be dishonest with a young fella in the ring. You've got to be as honest as you can. And he learns the honesty off you. and he speaks honestly to you because you speak honestly to him. When things is going wrong, you tell them they're going wrong. But you say to them, things is not going right, but we're going to put them right. And hopefully we'll do it together. And then slowly but surely he'll confide in you. And he will place all his trust in you. And when things go wrong in the ring, the first thing he does when that bell goes, he runs back to the corner and he sits down hoping you're going to make things right in the corner.
Sharky, you should be doing that. You should be doing that, Sharky. I will do it.
Thomas O'Hearn is my name. I'm secretary coach to St. Saviour's Olympic Boxing Academy. It used to be just St. Saviour's Amateur Boxing Club. We changed the name a couple of years ago. I'm a founder member of the club. I've boxed with the club. I've coached. I've sold raffle tickets. I sweep the floor, the same as John and Pat does, and Billy does. It's everybody here just mucks in and contributes to the club, whether it's selling a few raffle tickets or what have you. It's important. The club is part of us. We've been here that long, I suppose. But the ethos of the club was set by the men who founded this club, and the men who founded this club were absolute giants in voluntary work.
The man that started the gymnasium with us was a man called Jem Mackin. He was bad known Mackin off the docks. He drove a forklift at the docks. He was a deep sea docker. And he started the gym with me back in, he was in the old orphanage across the road. I was never there. But then we went up to another club and we were there for a while. And then we got our own club in the fire station where we are now. And Jem Mackin was the father of the St. Saviour's Boxing Club. And he was only a small man, but he was very big in stature.
When I was coming to the end of my competitive career, I still wanted to be involved. And he was taking me from the coach's wing into training me to be a coach instead of being a competitive boxer. And I asked him what the secret with the kids was, how he managed the kids so well, and he says, it's very simple. You can spoil the kids with sweets and ice cream, trips to the pictures, he says. You never spoil kids with time. You spend time with kids. You can spend hours with kids. Time won't spoil kids. It's the other things that spoil them. Most of them are just looking for that. To know that they're important, that they matter, he says. And it's amazing. It comes back to you. They'll give it back to you.
Jerry Hussey from Galway originally, but I came to college in Dublin, so I had boxed a little bit as a youngster. So when I came to college, I wanted kind of another outlet from academic work, so I looked around and I'd heard a lot about St. Saviour's. Even when I was in Galway, everybody spoke about St. Saviour's as a great club, so my immediate thing on arrival in Dublin was find the club. So I remember I came down, and it wasn't easy for a farmer boy from Galway to walk in amongst the heart of Dublin and tell them you want to box and see if they take you seriously or not. But from the first night, I was amazed at just the standard of dedication that was here, both by the boxers and the coaches. It was like everybody had the same plan. Everybody had a script. And it's seldom you experience that, because when you have a group of people together, you always have kind of everybody working for their own effort, and the group effort kind of goes out the window. And despite people thinking that boxing's an individual sport, in St. Saviour's, you'll find that everybody's given time for somebody else. Just then I was amazed when I came in. I thought I'd be the outsider because I was from Galway, and suddenly there was people here from Africa, there was people here from Eastern Europe. Nobody cared really where you came from. That wasn't asked what religion you were, didn't matter. And having grown up in an environment with stuff like that did matter, it was such a relief to be in a place where you were valued as a person regardless of, you know, what you did or where you came from. Or, so I think that was my first impression of Sensei. It was just everybody was in it together, you know, to be the best that the club could be.
My name's Darren Sutherland, and I'm 21 years old, and I box at 75 kilograms, which is middleweight, and I'm a member of St. Saviour's Boxing Gym. Well, I was training in England at the time with Brendan Ingle in Sheffield, and he wanted me to compete in some of the Irish competitions, and he felt that St. Saviour's, he knows John McCormick, and felt that they have such a strong boxing tradition, and when Nassim Hamid was over here for some of his contests, he used the gym to train in, so we felt that was the best place for me to go.
Yeah, I've been here, I suppose, 4 or 5 years now. I haven't been here full-time because I finished my undergraduate degree and I'm down to do masters, and that was time-consuming, so at times I had to take a couple of months out. But, you know, when you leave for a couple of months, your first week you're thinking, oh, this is nice, I can relax. After about 4 days, you're thinking, God, what am I going to do now? Because it's not just your fitness that starts leaving. It's like you've left your best friends behind. So I used to find that I'd be coming from the library and I'd end up, even without knowing it, heading into St. Saviour's. And even if I didn't have my gear with me, I'd end up talking to someone. Or it just became, you know, they're not just the people you box with. They're the people you're friendly with. They're the people you ring when you go home, even though you spent the day in the gym with them. It's, you know, it's just a whole social network. So I think that's part of what keeps coming back. Plus, when you train with some of the lads who are of such high standard here, when you train with top-class athletes, even though you may not be one yourself, it's hard to go away and train somewhere else with people who don't take it seriously then. You know, and I think when you come to Saviours, you begin to realise what athleticism is, you know. So it's hard to find that anywhere else.
I think the trainers, they're always, Pat, John, they've always got a smile on their face, and they're always in a good humour. They've always got time for everybody in the gym. There's never, if you have a problem, you want to talk to any of the trainers. It's not a problem. You never feel like, you know, if you've got something you want to talk about, it's hard to approach them. They're just always smiling and make you feel welcomed. And I think that's the beginning of it. And that just goes right the way through the gym. You know, if there's any, sometimes, you know, only it's in sparring, it might be a little bit of ill feeling sometimes between the lads, like over, you know, it could be they're either new to the gym, they don't know the system or whatever. That's knocked straight on the head straight away. John will be straight up there and say, listen, lads, we're all friends here. We're all, you know, in it together, whatever. And you know, tries to make a joke out of everything and make everything fun. And by doing that, it just, there's no tension in the gym at all. And everything just stems from that. The trainers come in, they're in a good humor. They're happy. They've got plenty of time for everybody. And so everyone else feeds off that.
Left foot in front, Daniel. That left foot's got to be out in front, Danny. You're square. That's it, the balance has to be right. Goodbye. Goodbye, Jason. That's much better, Jason. Don't bang off the ropes, Abdul. It's illegal. Move your head up, Abdul. Good. Goodbye, Michael. Very good, Michael. Very, very good.
Yeah, there's a great mix in the gym of different nationalities, and I think that's changed, and it kind of represents Dublin's change with the different, you know, cultures, nationalities, people coming into the country. And so the gym is representing that. We have Abdul, who's from Africa, and we've some of the other lads from the Eastern European countries. I'm Irish, but I've been all over the place, so I think I don't know where I'm from.
Yeah, my name is Abdul Hussein, originally from Ghana, and I've been boxing in St. Saviour's Boxing Club for 3 years now. I've been living in Ireland for 3 years. I'm 20 years old, and I'll be 21 very soon. And then, I box in middleweight, which is 12 stone, and I've boxed around about 17 fights, lost about 3.
Name's Carl Brabson, 23 years old. I'm 69 kilos, which is welterweight. I've won the All-Ireland National Intermediate Championships. They were on a couple of months ago, so that was the last one that I won anyway.
Okay, up and down together, let's go. training is pretty hard, but like you have to do it, you know. It's 2 hours, and after 2 hours you feel good, like you're fit and all, you know. It's not that much, three times a week for 2 hours, and the training is hard, but like that's boxing, is a hard game, you know. That's what it is. It's a hard sport, a hard game, and if you don't train, you don't win. That's all.
If it was just down to boxing ability, I mean, I don't think I'd be here, you know. I'm not the world's greatest boxer. There's so much more to the club, you know. It's the friendship, it's the commitment, it's everybody here to be the best that they can be, regardless of whether that's Dublin champion, Leinster champion, Irish champion, European champion or world champion. Everybody's valued. And even like, you know, when I won my Leinster title, I remember coming in and those guys in the ring who were competing at world standard had European titles. And they were there giving me a round of applause as if my title mattered. Well, it did to me, and it's a nice feeling to think that they acknowledged it too, that it was an achievement for me, even though it's very small for them, that even when an 11-year-old wins the most basic title, you know, he gets the appreciation of everybody. So, you know, it's that whole kind of family that we're here together.
My father was the famous Spike McCormack, who everyone knew. You know, everyone knew Spike. Anyone that's in the boxing, like, we'd be able to say, you know, if I said my name is McCormack, oh, would you be anything to Spike McCormack? Because everyone knew Spike. Spike was the middleweight champion of Ireland, amateur. And he was also the middleweight champion of Ireland, professional. So he was both, you know. And he was a Kerry man, incidentally, my father. He's from Listowel in County Kerry, and a very proud Kerry man. And naturally enough, he was of the assumption that we were going to be footballers. You know what I mean? Playing the Kerry team. You know what I mean? But we didn't. We went into the boxing. I don't think he was too disappointed either. You know what I mean? He loved, you know, once you're doing something, it'd be like all fathers, Liam. Once the youngster is doing something, he's out in the street playing football, he's out playing hurling, whatever he's doing. I love to see the kids playing sport of any kind, you know. I think that's ultimately the goal of all fathers. I used to go to sea, and consequently, like, when I got let go off the ships, I was here and I wasn't in work, and there was no work here. Work was very bad here at that time in 1963. So I went over to join the British Army, because my father said, if you're going to join any army, join the British Army, because you get a trade over. You know what I mean? And I went over to join the British Army, and I met a friend of my father's, and he was a boxing manager. And he said to me, you can stay in my house for a few days until such a time as you go off, or you get a job or whatever you were going to do. So I got a job, and then I stayed in his house, and then one day he was going off to the boxing gymnasium. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going off to the gym. He said, I go to the gym with some fighters that I have. I'm a professional manager, and I look after these fighters. And I said, do you mind if I come down with you and see where you, how do you do it? And he went down to the gym, and the gym we went to was the famous Thomas A. Becket down the old Kent Road. So I went down with him the first night. And the second night, that was on a Monday night, I think it was. I think he was going down again on a Wednesday, and I said, can I come down with you again? And he said, yeah. I said, do you mind if I train? Oh, he said, I don't mind, because you just pay in the gym and you train. And I went down and I started training. That was in 1963. And I stayed there till 1970, till I finished up boxing. But I turned professional in 63. And then I started off there in the Thomas A. Becket, and I stayed there for 7 years. And Danny Holland was Cooper's trainer. He used to look after the gymnasium with a fellow named Benny Jacobs. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I never enjoyed anything as much in all my life, with the camaraderie in the gym and meeting all the fighters and meeting the famous fighters that came from overseas and all that. I spent 7 years as a professional, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And about 42, I had 42 professional fights. I won 34. And I think I was stopped. I was stopped twice on cuts, and the others I lost on pints. But I won a British light heavyweight championship in 1967. I had it for 2 years, and then I went off to box in Australia for the Empire title. And I boxed in a place called Rushcutters Bay, where Tommy Burns boxed Jack Johnson on 1908. The first black man to fight for a world title. I boxed in that place in Rushcutters Bay in Sydney, Australia. I boxed there in 1968. I got beaten up, but it was a good experience, you know. And then we came home through America, and they wanted me to go down to Albuquerque to box. And the fellow they wanted me to box down there hadn't boxed for 2 years. And they said, he's just making a return to the ring. I said, who is he? Is he any good? Oh, no, he's not much good. But they didn't know his name. They knew his name, but they forgot it. But when they told me his name, I said, what was that fella's name that I was supposed to box in Albuquerque? I didn't go, incidentally. And they said, his name is Bob Foster. And it turned out that he's one of the best light heavyweight champions of all time. The best knockout record of all time in the light heavyweight championships. And I just said to myself, geez, if I went down and boxed him, I'd probably be still down in Albuquerque, speaking Mexican or something like that through the side of my mouth. You know what I mean? I once boxed another guy called John McCormack, and he came from Scotland, and he was British middleweight champion professional. And I boxed him in the Albert Hall in 1966. And after the fight, I won the fight. And after the fight, I was in the dressing room in the Albert Hall, and I was standing under the shower. And he came in, he opened the curtain of the shower, and he said to me, excuse me, do you drink? And I said, no, I don't drink. He said, would you nae have a drink with me? He's Scotch, like, from Glasgow. Would you nae have a drink with me? And I said, yeah, I will. I'll have a drink with you just to be sociable. So he went off anyway. He came back later on with a crate of Guinness, right? So I'm standing there looking at him, and he started opening these bottles of Guinness. So he gives me the bottle of Guinness, and I'm standing under the shower. And I'm drinking the bottle of Guinness. And naturally enough, the bottle is filling up with water. So he said, I want to introduce you to my father. And he brings in his father, whose name is John McCormack. So I said to him, how are you, Mr. McCormack? I said, your son is a good fighter. Now I'm still under the shower. And with that, I passed the bottle from one hand to the other hand to shake hands with his father. So with that, I put the bottle back in my right hand, and I'm drinking it again. And with that, he said to me, oh, by the way, and this is my wife, Margaret. Oh, God, I said, and I'm trying to cover myself up. I'm standing nude in the shower. And with that, I went, oh, I didn't know where to put the bottle, and I couldn't shake hands with her. So with that, she said to me, look, when you've seen one John McCormack, you've seen them all.
How'd you feel? Back to normal. Thank God. 3 big deep breaths. That's all you need. When you're in shape, of course.
I'm Pat McCormack, and I'm one of the team trainers of St. Xavier's. I'm the caretaker, the bookkeeper, and the looker after of the club. I went to London in 65. I went over to work because I was getting married the following year, 66. So I teamed up with my brother, and he was a pro at the time. So I was amateur with the limb, and after a few years I became an international for England. I represented London, and I had a little bit of talent, and I became a pro. So that was the start of my big career over there. People asked me, would I fight for London? I said, no problem, because I lived in London. Then people asked me, would I represent England? I said, no problem, because I lived in England. That's where I got me living. That's where I done me fighting. And that's who I owe me allegiance to at the time. So I represented London and I represented England. So I got no regrets, no regrets. And it's all I want to me. So it's fighting, as far as I'm concerned. I it was hard. It was a gladiator's life. You were disciplined. You were out in the road in the morning, in work, in the gym at night. After the gym, you went home, had your dinner, and went to bed. This is every month, every year. Like, and a major bitter. You didn't like anybody. You didn't have no fun at all. And like, you resented. You begrudged anybody else having it, you know. They were out there enjoying themselves and singing their songs and doing what they wanted. And you were there, you were confined to your confined to your house, more or less. That's the price you have to pay. If you want something, you got to pay for it. And if it's not in money, it's got to be in blood. That's what I paid for. I pay for everything in blood. Anything that I have now, I paid for. I paid for it in blood.
Come on, yeah. Last way.
Come on.
Four.
Charlie, come on.
Three. Two. One. Well done, lads. Thank you.
Oh, I was asked to go to Boston to fight this big Yank, an Italian. And when I go over there, they looked at me and they said, he's a little guy, he has no chance. This guy was about 5'11", 5'10", 5'11". Oh, he was looking down. I was a dwarf. But I'm coming tonight to fight, it was St. Patrick's Night in Boston, 74. And a big, big stadium. It was packed to see the little Irishman against the Italian. First bell went, and there was ructions. Jeez, there was more to there, and I was throwing everything at this guy. I lifted him out of it. I nutted him. I butted him. I had done everything to him. And he was still standing there. I cuffed him. Oh. The fight was going on, there was blood everywhere, it was all mine. And the referee said, "Yes, this is a great fight." And I looked at the referee and said, "Hey, don't we get a break in this fight?" He said, "No," he said, "this is a great fight. This is too good," he said, "to be stopped. Continue on." We never got a break for the 6 rounds. And for the 7th round, I couldn't answer. I was bet. This guy just literally... he destroyed me, but I was knackered. After the fight, seeing the guy, and we were going to have a beer and everything was good. The press asked him, "How tough do you think McCormick was?" He said he was tough, but he said he was dirty. He was the dirtiest little thing, he said, I've ever come across. When he told me that, I said, that was the cleanest fight I've ever fought.
Show them outside that you're doing what? Bang, jab. Bang, hook. Show the judges that you're not hitting me around. Let me hook, bang. So what you do is you just go on the defensive for 1 round and say, he didn't score a punch. And the referee and the judges have nothing to do about it other than say, he didn't score a punch, so you win the fight. You know what I mean? So what you got to do is, instead of saying to yourself, right, I'm going to go out and be brave. There's nothing wrong with being brave. You say to yourself, hold it. Like Willie Valentine, hold on to your lead. I've got the lead. He's got to come and take. You don't let him take. Move away. Move around the ring. You can hold him, turn him, do anything you like. Move around. Let the judges see. He's not hitting. And then if he picks up, we say 2 points, they say, like, you were ahead by 8 points going into the last round. And he picks up 2 points. He's still 6 points down. So just relax and say to yourself, he's got to do all the work. You know what I mean? It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
You won't do it. You're just super like me, ain't you? I'm joking. You know what I mean, Keith? Goodbye.
He was very, very good, Pat. Pat was... I'd love to have a little fighter like Pat in the gym. And hopefully, if I stay there long enough, I'll get one. One little guy would come in one day and he'd start being sarcastic and straight to the point, and I'll recognise him as soon as he comes into that gym. I have another little Pat McCormick here. Myself, no, I wouldn't have that. I did it because it was something to do. And because my father was famous and Pat was famous, I wanted to be famous, naturally enough. You want to excel and do as good as them. You're never going to be as good as them, but you're going to try. and in trying to be your own self, you'll be equally as good as them, you know, in your own little way.
Look, here we go, look. And again, look, look.
My name is Billy. I'm a coach down at St. Saviour's Boxing Club in Dorset Street. And we cater for most of the youngsters around the immediate area. But then again, some come from outside the city limits, you know, from the city centre, that is, you know, from the likes of Stillorgan and Castle Knock, anywhere in them areas and that. But our mainstream really come from the inner city.
Don't forget, four good rounds in there. You just lash it over, boys. You show up. Okay, check it out. Right, hop in the ring, lads. Let's go. Away we go, boys.
When you're at that age group and you get to know them and all that, like, you sort of become part of them. Like, you're still their coach, right? And they respect you as that. But you also respect them. And then you respect what goes along with it. If they have a problem outside the club and all that. Of course, yeah. That's what it's all about, you know? They help you and you help them.
Are you famous?
No.
Remember what Andy Warhol said?
What?
If you want to be famous for 3 minutes. That was in the 60s, Billy, before we were born.
That's right, Johnny. You know it's a bit before our time.
Yeah, we were born in the 80s. You know what I mean? We're 80s children. They were all the flower power people. We're the psychedelics.
That's right.
San Francisco, long hair. Like, remember?
I do indeed. When I was a young fella, we hadn't much. So he got involved in some kind of sports. I don't know, it'd be football or whatever. But I always liked the boxing, I did. It was in me when I was a young fella. It was there. It was just a thing that you had. But what happened was that when I reached a certain age, around the 17 mark, when you should be coming of value to your club and things like that, you know, you start putting in so much into your next ball. But then you have the offsets of it. The youth, being a young lad, the attractions from the females draw you away, and other aspects of life. And that's a thing that I never forgot, and I had not continued. And that's why now I try to relate that to these young lads today, because it's not now that they realise, it's only when they're past their best, when they're by the sell-by date, then they go turn around and say to themselves, I should have, and if only, and I could. They are words that I hate. I can't stand anyone that says that to me, no matter what. He should, he could, he didn't. And when I say it like that, I mean I'm talking about myself. And that I will never, ever forget, that I should have stayed at it. But being young, it's a fact of life that happens to them all. And it has happened many, and it'll probably happen many more.
Preparation. Judge, sign in, please.
Literally speaking, you're just there for self-preservation, because as far as you're concerned, you're going to be killed. Like, and all boxers think, geez, I'm going to be battered here tonight, you know what I mean? I hope I don't get hurt. That's your main object, is not to get hurt. But the fear is there of getting knocked out or getting badly hurt. But it never materializes. So you start to enjoy your boxing. But every time you go in the ring, you still have the butterflies. Because you're still nerve. The nerves hit you. They're still in your belly. And when they're in your belly, You got great chances.
Good. Back with them a straight jab. Good. All contests during this.
You gotta hold it with them jabs straight away from the force bell. You gotta let them know you're there from the force bell. Now keep it nice and straight. Everything's straight. Everything's just bump, bump. Make sure the judges see it. Bump, bump, bump. It's all nice and long and straight. That's it. And accurate. That's it. Hands are high. Hands are high when you come away, man. Hands are up there when you come away. Look at the back foot. All right? Keep the hands high all the time. Just relax. Deep breath. Shake his hand. When you rest his hand, shake his hand. That's it. After each round, you come back to us. Okay? You shake his hand after the fight. You didn't hit the wind.
Only one and a half minutes long.
It's gone like that. Very, very quick. Right? So you've got to make it pay. This is what it's all about. Alright?
You have 1.5 minutes each round. It's no time and it's over. So if you don't do it, there's no time to. You have loads of time to rest when you get outside, right? Right, so put everything in. Right, especially from the start. And we've got to start nice and fast.
First punch. First punch is going to be yours. No, the first punch is going to be yours. The first round, and then you're going to take over.
Second round,
we keep it going. Keep the momentum going. Once you get the momentum.
No, you would never, ever even dream of turning a child away. A child can come to the club, stay in the club. Doesn't matter what he has. He's always more than welcome to be part of the club. But the money is immaterial. Once we have him off the streets, we don't care where he is.
Start letting them go, Graham.
Take his head off there. Wait. Relax, you did great. That young player's a few times all Ireland champion, right? Only being beaten once, 20 fights, right? And that was in the foreign aid.
Nobody left.
Right? That's how good you're after being in against, right? You're after being beaten, right? No, that's a great, that's brilliant. That what you did out there was brilliant. You went there over in the last round on us. Right, come here. Hold your head up high. You're after doing a bleed. We didn't want to tell you before you got in, right?
You're doing very well, well done. Well done, well done, bro.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, dear boys, a big, big round of applause. That was good boxing. And the winner of that contest by computer scoring of 13.25, Joyce in the blue corner. And your appreciation, please, for Graham Keating from the St. Saviour's Olympic Boxing Academy. The greatest thing that we can do in the club is to watch and see them progressing. That's our ambition, is to see the progress of the children from the childhood up to manhood. We can look at them and say, that's what they were, that's what we made them. We made decent people.
I mean, he wasn't overwhelmed at all, boy. No. At all. I think he had him worried a couple of times, didn't he, really?
In the fourth round, I thought he put him in a lot of trouble because he got close and he let a lot of shots go. Your man looked a bit worried. You rattled him, but you just couldn't sustain the pressure.
He was always going under me. Yeah. And when I went under him, he always, the woman says, oh, no, ducking or that, and which he was ducking under me, so.
Well, that's all experience. He has all that from all his experience he has. He's had 1-3 All-Ireland titles. You've only had 2 fights. So, it'll come with experience, you know.
It's like going straight into the 20 foot in Dorky. Right?
Yeah, it's all about tomorrow.
You're going to go home and rest now, Brian?
Yeah, big time.
Turn up the ring, boys, please.
Rest and eat sweets. No sweets, Brian.
Ladies and gentlemen, show your appreciation, please, for these two young gentlemen.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.